make the point, Bill.
Good afternoon. I am opening the meeting of the House Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development on Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. And this will be our last gathering for this committee. So two bills today. One, Senate Bill 1554A on Higher Education Savings Account. The second, Senate Bill 1563A, Undocumented Student Tuition Equity. And we discussed both of those last time. So, but Laura, could you, oh, oops, pardon me. Opening a work session on Senate Bill 1554A. And now, Laura, could you provide the committee with a brief summary?
Chair members of the committee, Senate Bill 1554A would disregard any amount in an account established for higher education expenses for the purpose of determining an individual's eligibility to receive any assistance or benefits. It requires the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to also conduct a study on the effects to financial aid programs of excluding account balances from determinations of expected family contributions for higher education expenses. There are no amendments to this bill. There is indeterminate fiscal impact, no revenue impact, and no subsequent committee referral. And I'm happy to read a short statement about the fiscal.
Could you tell us a little bit about indeterminate fiscal? That's always an interesting statement. Mm-hmm.
Sure. So the fiscal analyst for Senate Bill 1554A issued an indeterminate fiscal for this bill. There were a few different components. The study and report for the legislature are anticipated to have minimal fiscal impact. The impact of excluding accounts established for higher education expenses is likely to have minimal fiscal impact. And the portion that could be impacted are means-tested services and programs in some agencies, including DHS. The fiscal analyst indicated that the amount of such an impact is indeterminate because there's no way to know how many potential clients will have such accounts, as well as whether the account balances would result in change in eligibility for services.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Chair Reardon.
Oh, there we go.
I move Senate Bill 1554A to the floor of a do-pass recommendation.
Rep. Wisnett moves Senate Bill 1554A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Rep. Noble.
Thank you, Chair. I think this bill is great. I support it. The question I had, and I think I understand the genesis of the bill after talking with the department, the treasurer. The question I have is to make sure that we're not using assistance, public assistance, to actually fund 529 plans, because I don't think that's within the spirit of the bill. It's to allow people to save.
Right.
Without actually funding off of public assistance. So I don't know where that comes. I'm concerned about an indeterminate because I think we probably could figure out. But then again, I think we need to provide a motivation for people to save for higher education. So I'll be a yes, but I just wanted to note my concerns.
Okay. Good to hear. Any other discussion? Okay. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bynum.
Aye.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Byrd.
Aye.
Representative Noble.
Aye.
Representative Reschke.
Aye.
Representative Solman.
Yes.
Vice Chair Alonso Leon.
Yes.
Vice Chair Wisnett.
Yay.
Chair Reardon.
Aye. The motion passes. And let's see, who is carrying this one? So I think Rep. Solman, would you mind carrying this one for us? All right, I appreciate that. I know it's going to be an extra effort, but I appreciate it. I think she may have mentioned that earlier. So I'm closing this work session on Senate Bill 1554A. Opening a work session on Senate Bill 1563A. And Laura, if you could give us a little summary on that one, please.
Chair members of the committee, Senate Bill 1563A would remove the requirement that undocumented students apply for an official federal identification document in order to be eligible for resident tuition at public universities. It allows Oregon Health and Science University to board to exempt undocumented students from non-resident tuition rates. The bill extends eligibility for scholarships and other financial aid from public universities and OHSU to undocumented students. It allows students who are not citizens or lawful permanent residents to receive scholarships, grants, and other financial aid from the Higher Education Coordinating Commission and declares emergency effective on passage. There are no amendments to this bill, no fiscal impact, no revenue impact, no subsequent committee referral.
Okay. Okay. There are no amendments, no fiscal impact, no revenue impact. And we did discuss it the other day, so I'm ready for a motion.
Okay. Chair Reardon, I move SB 1563-8 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Rep. Alonzo Leon moves Senate Bill 1563-8 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Rep. Wisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members and the public, I've been here from the beginning in 2013 when Oregon passed the tuition equity bill. It was House Bill 2787, which gave undocumented students who had completed their high school diploma in Oregon schools and within a certain time restraints to receive in-state tuition. However, the bill did prevent those students from receiving scholarships and from any eligibility to work. I think it was 2013 or 2014, the legislature changed the policy about how opportunity grants are awarded. The new priority, which I supported and voted for, was the priority of awarding opportunity grants was need. In 2015, legislation was passed that removed the restrictions that undocumented students could not receive opportunity grants. So now they can receive opportunity grants, and those grants are going to be awarded first priority on need. This bill only does two things. It removes the following statement. It removes the requirement that students file a federal application for an ID or a social security number. It adds a statement, so that's, I think, three times or four times it removes that statement, which was put in the original bill, 2787. By, I think, the sponsors, Senator Denbrough. And now this bill removes that statement. It also adds, I think it's number last page, section 3. Section 1, subparagraph 6, line 30, page 2. That says a student at a post-secondary institution of education in this state who is not a citizen or a lawful permanent resident of the United States is eligible to receive scholarships, grants, and other financial aid from the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. I have and am concerned about the impact of this legislation on the acceptance rate of our students and their opportunities to receive scholarships. The numbers of students in the past legislation have not been significant numbers, and I hope that will continue. But since the bill has the votes to pass, I'll be a no to be sure that we continue alert that we should continue to monitor this issue to help the undocumented students, but not disadvantage the other students. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Yeah, Rep. Noble.
Thank you, Chair Reardon. I'm concerned that there's no fiscal in this bill, and it's my dilemma. I'm still not sure really where I land, because I watched when I was an employee at Linfield College, watch students start to see some of their aspirations disappear. I made a comment during our last meeting, and I hope it was understood correctly. I use the word hostage, and I use that word because my experience, both as a supervisor and as a friend, one of my employees, who was brought over as a child. His wife was brought over as a child. His parents decided to go through the naturalization process, and her parents decided not to. They'd been married at that time 8 years. And she decided she wanted to become a citizen because he could go home to Mexico and visit his family, but she couldn't go with him. So after an additional 5 years, close to $20,000. Being away from him for 15 months in Mexico while he worked here. And I had no idea, maybe you know, because she was tied to U.S. money, she now was a target of the cartel for kidnap. So he had to go down there and move her around to make sure she was safe. I just, that's my definition of a hostage. They were not, they didn't come here on their own. They're here because of someone else's actions. And I watched my employee go through, excuse the term, hell, while his wife was in Mexico. So I want so bad to vote yes on this, but I don't see where, I see an unintended consequence with the grants and the scholarships. And maybe it's just poor wording. I was told that there's an intent in other laws that cover and restrict the awarding of the Oregon Opportunity Grant, the Oregon Promise Grant, OSAC scholarships, and then tuition equity. But I don't know where that is. So all I have is the bill in front of me, and I'm not an attorney, although I've read statutes my whole career in law enforcement and tried to interpret them and apply them on a daily basis. I just don't see where that safeguard's in there. So I, similar to some other legislation that I opposed in the House, I think this opens the door for anybody, anywhere, to decide to come to Oregon and get a free education. So it expands it beyond this group of people that I have a heart for to make sure that they get through. And ideally, I wish Congress would take action. I wish there was a way for these people. For my friends to become citizens. But they haven't done that. So now we are here in this dilemma of wanting to help and at the same time creating a potential unintended consequence of a budget hole that we don't know what looks like. And this is not the magnitude of where we are with, say, PERS or other things, but that's how we got there, is we grant this without any type of constraint. I'm concerned there's no fiscal. I don't know how you get one, but to say there's no impact at all, I don't believe.
Any other comments? Rep. Klein.
So I've got some expertise in the opportunity grant side because not only was I recipient back when it was the Oregon Need Grant, but I chaired the commission that gave it out, the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. It doesn't exist anymore as a citizen commissioner governed body. It's just governed by a staff person. But at one time, there were citizen commissioners. And I also participated in the definition of residency in 1993 in front of the State Board of Higher Education as a student, just like all these young people. I was lobbying for what the definition of residency meant. And residency is pretty tight. And so for Representative Noble, I just want to point to the parts that help ensure these are for people who have gone to high school in Oregon. It's on page 2, starting in line 3. That's where it starts. But line 6 is the key 1 and 10. Mm-hmm. So during each of the 3 years prior to receiving a high school diploma, they had to have gone to school in Oregon. And then the 5 years, they had to have gone to school in the U.S. So you couldn't just move here in 1 year and gain access to in-state tuition because you weren't an Oregon high school attendee. And that's the key thing about having people move here just to go to college, for example. And the residency requirements for the university system are pretty strict for a reason. We used to have reciprocity with Washington and others, and we kind of let them go back and forth. And then Washington canceled or we canceled, I'm not sure who. And whoever canceled first, the other one cut them off. And it pinched a lot of kids, especially ones who had divorced parents who lived in both states. Initially, you actually, even though one parent paid a lot of Oregon taxes, you couldn't get residency if you lived with the other one. So the goal, for me at least, is let's try and make sure the parents and or the kids were living here for a while during their high school years, presumably paying taxes. Obviously, 49% of the people don't pay any taxes in Oregon at all, so not everybody pays taxes. But as I mentioned before, lots of people who work in the underground economy pay taxes and aren't able to ever access their benefits. I know that. So having said all that, the reason I think this doesn't have a fiscal is because the only thing this bill's changing in something the legislature's in charge of is whether or not the student has to apply for that federal number or not. And I don't think there's a fiscal impact for them applying for that federal number or not. they already are getting in-state tuition now. So they're, the same number of students is going to keep getting in-state tuition later. It's just they don't have to apply for the number. Unless you felt that the scholarship portion was what was going to cause more. But again, that's up to the donors and the schools. So if a university already allows undocumented residents to apply, this won't change that. This just will validate that nobody could challenge it. But if they, if a donor doesn't want an undocumented resident to be eligible for their scholarship, they're still allowed to preclude them under this because it's still subject to the policies of the universities, and all scholarships are always subject to the policies of the donor, at OSAC at least. The donor sets the criteria. So I truly don't think it will cost any more money, but it will save some people who are trapped as hostages. I totally agree with you in this federal immigration debate. Most people agree those DACA kids should not be the ones that we're debating. They should be validated and allowed to stay, and we're trying to stop them here from becoming targets by having a number that is traceable. So when one administration flips to another and another flips back to another, they're not constantly in fear because there's this identifiable number. I will note the thing we did not take out here, in the Senate version at least, we did not take out the requirement that the student continue to obtain citizenship. So it says that they do need to show intention to become a citizen, a lawful permanent resident, by submitting to the public university an official copy of the student's application to register with a federal immigration program or a federal deportation deferral program, or a statement of intent that they will seek to obtain citizenship as permitted. That's still in here to make sure they are still trying to become citizens. It's just that ITIN number is the part that I'm think it doesn't serve a real useful purpose compared to the pledge that they were brought here, they want to be here, they want to be American citizens, they're in the process to try and become American citizens, and I don't want them kicked out of school. Because frankly, I don't think they're going to leave anyway, and I would rather have them in school getting educated than out in the street without an education, try to figure out how to survive, personally. I respect my colleagues' opinions on this, I really do. I tremendously... I'm sincere when I say that. It's not just because you're leaving. I understand your concerns.
Thank you. That was really super helpful. Rep. Noble?
Yeah, I appreciate, Representative Clem, your explanation. I join with you. I wish the scholarships in here. I still see subsection 6 of Section 1 as a standalone. If this were limited to DACA students, that would be an easy one for me. But I still see it as opening the door, really, to future students, not existing students, who may choose to take advantage of this. And I wish we had a legal opinion. I'm not an attorney, but I appreciate your input, because I think we're on the same page here.
I appreciate everybody's comments. And one of the things I really love about this committee is the respectful way in which we can talk about something that can become a very emotional issue. It can be for me. So I'm going to see people are heading toward the floor, which is our next stop today. So I did open this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I did motion.
So I'm ready for a motion? Oh, you did a motion?
Yep.
Okay. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bynum.
Aye.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Byrd.
Regretfully, no.
She have a lot of specific scholarships to do that.
No.
Representative Reschke.
Nay.
Representative Solman.
Yes.
Vice Chair Alonso Leon.
Yes.
Vice Chair Wisnett.
No.
Chair Reardon.
Aye. Motion passes. And need a carrier for that. Rep. Klein, would you carry that?
Yep.
Thank you. We're ready to go. I'm closing work session on Senate Bill 1563A, closing the meeting of the House Committee on Higher Ed and Workforce Development. Thank you, everybody. Outstanding job.
Is this a good
Yeah.